This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to the Equal Agenda podcast. We'd like to thank the YWCA for providing us with this opportunity to be on this podcast. If you didn't know, the YWCA has been around as an association since 1878. The Southern Hemisphere's first YWCA was established in Dunedin, and in 1943, the YWCA Hamilton was established, and it's now known as the YWCA Waikato to include the wider region.
We'd also like to thank Free FM for giving us the space and opportunity to record the podcast in partnership with the YWCA.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another season of Equal Agenda. This is season 4, and we are your new hosts. Kia ora, ko imi we toku ingoa, ko ka piti te marae, ko waikanae te awa e mahi nei aku maharahara, no Aotearoa aho, ko tēnei taku mihi ki ngā tangata whenua o te rohi nei. Hi everyone, my name is Emmy. I'm so excited to be here and to be one of your new hosts for this season of Equal Agenda. I am currently studying a Bachelor of Social Science, majoring in Sociology and minoring in Māori and Indigenous Studies and Gender and Sexuality Studies.
Kia ora, I'm Roman. I'm currently studying a Bachelor of Political Science at the University of Waikato. I'm doing a major in Political Science and a minor in Human Rights.
Awesome. So today we are here to talk to you guys a little bit about our experiences growing up in society today and what feminism means to us. And we will also briefly discuss the topics we will be covering this season.
So I grew up in between France and New Zealand. I'd spend time sort of going to school in France and we'd come back and go to school in New Zealand. And so I think for me, that experience has sort of maybe made me more aware of the differences, not only between the two countries, but also between like the way people, I guess, sort of perform gender in the two. I think it's a lot more still the norms of gender are a lot more rigid in France between boys and girls compared to in New Zealand. At least that's my experience. But also just in school, one of my favorite subjects was history. And yeah, being interested in history, a lot of it was very gendered. Most of the famous figures throughout history were men. Even though that sort of, I guess, doesn't really reflect the reality of it. I think, if anything, it more reflects just the gendered aspect of society in general. So that's the way that we look back on our past, the way we look at history is through the lens of just important, rich, straight, white men, essentially defining history. You know, New Zealand, a lot of, I don't want to say a lot of, but there's a specific section of people that venerate like Cook, right? Coming and discovering, in quotes, islands in the Pacific.
Yeah, 100%. Couldn't have said it better myself. And I think that a big part of that is like, for me personally, growing up as a young woman in New Zealand, it's really fueled my fire, like only seeing kind of history being taught from the male perspective or like those perspectives that have been forgotten for so long or purposely not included, like often those of women or even queer people. It's so, so disheartening. And it's honestly fueled so much of my fire as to why feminism is such a big part of my life and why I'm so passionate about gender equality is definitely because of the way that I've been raised and just seeing it, witnessing it firsthand. This definitely has led to the person I am today and to why that's important to me.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think especially with the voices of women, queer voices, Indigenous voices, it's not just an omission from things like history, an omission from just society in general, but there's an active silencing of it going on and still going on to this day, maybe not legally codified, but socially sanctioned. There are still attitudes that are incredibly reductive of the voices of women, of the voices of queer people, of the voices of Indigenous people all around the world. But in New Zealand, as much as we would like to think, you know, we have made so much progress in these areas and especially with women's rights, there is a very long way to go. And I would say arguably more difficult in terms of social attitudes.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that that is such a good point. The fact that it's not so much the big change. It is those day-to-day social attitudes that are kind of the big problem. Like, personally, as a woman, I've experienced in so many day-to-day scenarios, whether that be my involvement in leadership or my involvement in sport, I can always see just those kind of microaggressions almost that can come from sexism or misogyny. Like, it can be so hard to deal with. And I think that those are often the things that go unnoticed, is the kind of smaller just digs that go on throughout a day. Little things that women or minorities might have to go through that goes unnoticed, just those kind of stepping stones that people don't see that they're actually having to go through, that men often don't have to go through.
Yeah, definitely. And as a transgender woman myself, I've definitely experienced a lot of those, I guess, you would call them microaggressions, whether it's subtle things like misgendering or just the kind of language that is sort of aimed at just, yeah, really being reductive towards your identity, I think. Obviously, there's the idea that, you know, not a real woman, all of these attitudes that are taken up by people who themselves either aren't women or take up these really exclusionary definitions that only serve to really objectify women and to reduce them to the specific object, whether it's reducing them to their reproductive organs or anything like that.
Yeah, totally. And I guess that's why we are both so excited to bring you this season of Equal Agenda, because we're going to have a wide variety of opinions and different experiences that we're bringing to the table. I think it's so important that we do get to hear the voice of a trans woman, because I feel like often they are left out of the conversation. And I personally am super keen to hear what you have to say, and I know people out there will be too.
And there's definitely a lot to talk about. We've got 8 topics that we're going to be discussing throughout the season. The first one coming up is going to be women in war and conflict. And I think that one in particular is sort of always relevant. There's always some sort of conflict going on, and women are usually always caught in the middle of that. Whether it doesn't even need to be like a formal war. There are, say, in like North Africa and the Sahel region, there are terrorist groups that go around and they essentially take over huge amounts of land, terrorize villages, terrorize local governments. And a lot of these have views about women that are pretty damaging.
Yeah, so I think that this topic is going to be quite a sensitive one, but definitely very important for us to talk about and discuss, because there's so many different roles that women do play in a war.
Yeah, it's a thing that I should have actually said, is that women, when they're caught in the middle of these conflicts, it's not just as victims. There are women that fight in armies. There are women that fight in rebel groups, proxy groups. In Sri Lanka, during the civil war that they had there, they had entire battalions that were constituted entirely of women. And that was sort of their claim to a form of gender equality / progressivism, was that they had like a bunch of fighting women on their side. And whether that's, I would say, consistent with ideas about feminism, I would be interested to explore, because I know that there are a lot of feminist international relations theories, at least, that talk about war being opposed to ideas about feminism and gender equality, because war is a very gendered thing, I think. It's very masculinized. And often, even though there are women combatants in war, they are mostly like victimized, they become the victims of war.
100%. So I think that one, women in war and conflict, is going to be a very full-on one. Lots of information, but lots of very interesting points that are often not covered when the media does cover war. The second topic that we'll be looking at is a really, really fun one. So women in sport. This is a very fun topic for me. I mean, I've grown up playing sport. My sport's always been basketball. I did play a little bit of rugby, but enough about me. I think this episode's going to be really fun to kind of see the current debates going on about especially trans athletes in sport. Like, yeah, that's going to be a big thing to cover.
Especially trans women in sport, it's a massive argument, and it's one that I really don't think should be as big as it is. And I think sort of exploring why it's become such a big debate. It sort of helps us understand attitudes towards women in sport and exactly what women's sport is and why people think trans women pose a threat to it. I think the assumptions behind that could be quite interesting.
Yeah, for sure. We'll also be covering the different hurdles that women have to go over just to be recognised or even get the same kind of opportunities that men get just day to day in sport. So like funding opportunities, just all sorts that goes on behind the scenes that people often don't hear about. Another fun one coming up is we'll have an episode about Indigenous women and gender diversity in Indigenous communities. This is such a big one to cover. And I think specifically living in Aotearoa, it's really important for us to kind of learn a bit more. I think everyone can learn a bit more to be good tangata tiriti partners, and we can learn a bit about mana wahine and what that kind of means and the difference between that and white feminism and then just gender diversity in those communities. I think that's a big thing.
I agree with you. It's a very underexplored topic. I think pretty much the only time I ever learnt about mana wahine or pretty much anything to do with Te Ao Māori was in like a first year gender and sexuality course that I did. I'd never learnt about that through school, pretty much, all the way up until uni. It's something that I'd be interested to see if there's silence about it or if it's being silenced.
Yes, too true. I think we can also have a look at our Polynesian brothers and sisters and take a look at Fafafine in Samoa. I think that is a really interesting topic to learn about, that, you know, gender diversity has always been around. It's not something new. It's just something that is often now getting covered by Western media, and it's becoming an issue then when in reality they've often lived here and like been peaceful for many years.
Yeah, until the white people come in their boats and introduce
colonial ideologies.
Exactly. Religions and the very Western gendered expectations that just really don't apply.
Kind of going on from that, we'll have an episode about, is there a right way to be a feminist? And I know there's so many mixed opinions about this. And we'll just kind of be discussing all the kind of stigma and the baggage that comes along with calling yourself a feminist. Because let's be real here, so many people don't actually know, like, the definition of what it means to be a feminist. And then that is the question, is there one kind of definition to it?
And I think that's a really hard thing to navigate because there are so many different kinds of feminism. You could be talking about, you know, liberal Western feminism, decolonial feminism, even within like Marxist theory, there's like feminist strains. So I think finding like one universal definition of like what is a feminist is pretty hard, if not impossible, to do. But I think there are definitely things that you could rule out as being feminist, like, for example, TERFs.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. And in that topic, we'll definitely be talking about our kind of own experiences and what it means to be a feminist to both of us and the differences and the similarities in there.
Yeah. And moving on from that, probably the opposite of feminism, incel culture and the dangers of incel culture. That's a real scary one, I think.
100%.
The fact that it is becoming so prevalent.
So normalized.
Yeah,
it's like scary.
It used to be a thing where it was just, you know, a few weirdos online and it was like a really niche little internet subculture, but it's growing sort of outside those spaces like 4chan and inciting like violent extremism. There are attacks against women, violence, things like rapes and murders that have been inspired by these ideologies, by people on these sites.
Yes, yes. I mean, I think a good way to kind of put it into a nutshell, I just always think of, if you've seen that show Adolescence, like that is kind of the whole vibe of that episode. I think it's important to learn about incel culture and the dangers of it. So not just women are aware of it, but men, because it's a really scary thing for young men and young boys to be kind of, I don't want to say tricked into, but exposed to and just normalized, because let's be real here, it's not normal. Like, that is not a normal thing, and it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be a part of our society.
Yeah, and that's the real scary thing, is that it is. And it's becoming a more normalized thing, which is really just, it's crazy, honestly. Like, it's not something that I could have ever imagined happening.
Exactly. So in that, we'll be discussing all kinds of things. There's the dangers of online chat rooms, the dangers of echo chambers, kind of big voices in these kind of incel communities, what to look out for, stuff like that.
Yeah. Moving on from that, though, the next topic that we'll be looking at is feminism and LGBTQIA plus movements.
Yes. Kind of just putting down the frameworks to the whole lot of history that's gone into these movements. There's so much there. We've got so much to cover in that one.
Yeah, I think definitely the visibility of queer people and at times the invisibility of it, because obviously there is a need to sort of address these things. Like, there are feminist movements that have been historically exclusionary of these. If you think about like the sort of first wave feminism especially, and that's more of like a relic of its time, obviously. When it occurred, there was a less accepting attitude towards LGBTQIA people.
Yes. I think a big kind of concept we will be covering in this one is intersectionality. So if you want to learn a bit more about that, definitely have a listen to that episode, because it's a part of everyday society. It's a big one.
Yeah. And then beyond that, women in medicine and science.
Yes, let's go.
It's, I think, definitely a thing that we could both sort of relate to. In my experience, at least when it comes to things like medicine and science, definitely the process of transitioning is one where you have to consult a lot of medical professionals. And a lot of the time, I think there is a sort of almost dismissive attitude that medical professionals can have towards you and your life experiences, at least to me as a trans woman. And I'm wondering if, for you, you've had a similar experience.
Yeah. I was just going to say, kind of like, it's that whole like asking, you have to ask permission to just live in your own body almost. Like, it's so jarring, and it would be so hard to deal with. And like, personally, I've had a lot of issues with trying to get a diagnosis for endometriosis for many years now. And there'll be more about that. So if you're excited for it, then tune in. I'm like trying to promote it. I'm like, tune in. So we'll kind of end with talking about the past, present, and the future of feminism in New Zealand. This is a great way for us to kind of wrap up how far feminism has come in New Zealand, or has it even come that far? That's the question, you know? That's the million-dollar question. Like,
how far will it go?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Are we going forwards or backwards?
Exactly.
That's especially an important one to consider.
Yeah. So those are our eight topics we have in mind for this season of Equal Agenda. We're really excited. There's so much to cover here. We hope that we can both kind of bring a new framework and our different perspectives, because there's definitely some overlap between the other seasons, but we will bring a new fresh spring of life to each episode. We might even be having some guests come on and speak to us. So that's super exciting. That's in the works.
We'd love to see more engagement from our listeners this season. So commenting on posts and giving us feedback on what we did right this season and what we could improve on, what you thought of our ideas, what you thought of the topics that we discussed, and maybe share some of your own experiences.
If you have any questions, feel free to leave them in the comments. We'll try our best to answer them all. We really want to inspire discussions from these topics on these different episodes. So, yeah, we encourage you to talk to your neighbor, talk to your classmates, talk to your kids, talk to your family, talk to your parents, talk to anyone, and just get a range of opinions, ideas. See if this changes how you think, or if you can try change how other people think. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, and also recommend Free FM to family and friends as well. So that's all for this episode. Join us next week, where we'll be talking about women in war and conflict.
Ka kite anō.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.